On today's show, the Cleveland Cavaliers are now 0-2 against the Raptors. We'll discuss what that means, the loss, all of that and more. Thanks again for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Hey, I'm Chris Manning. I co-host this podcast with that man over there, Evan Demerol. Today's show, segment one, we're going to talk about the big takeaway from Cavs Raptors. Segment two, we are going to give out our game awards, which is sometimes not as fun to do on bad nights or not competitive games for the most part. But alas, we have a bit we will stick to. In segment three, we'll talk about the return of Caris LeVert and also and maybe concern over what Robin Lopez is giving you as the third center. But Evan, let's get into our big takeaway from Cavs Raptors. A little box score update for the Cavs. Again, lose this one. Was competitive for a bit. Second half kind of gets out of hand. Evan, my takeaway is just, I think this is just kind of like a blah third city in four nights performance. You lose 188, you know, you make, like, felt like zero threes, honestly. Like, I know they did make a few, but it feels like zero in some ways, right? This is just kind of a blah performance. You know, you don't have Jared Allen. This feels like a schedule loss, but also just a year and two in Toronto this year. It's just a weird one, and I don't, like, know what to take from it other than a bunch of blah.
It's a lot of blah stuff. I wonder if Ryan Day will be fired for this performance by the Cavs because it's another Ohio team just dropping the ball after the holiday weekend. But
I mean, we are in the era of, like, everyone wants every coach fired.
Well, so things are bad, fire the coach. And, you know, again, Ryan Day could go 11-1 this year and next year drop the game to Michigan, be 56-6 overall and still get fired. That's wild to me. But listen to Locked On Buckeyes if you want to hear more about that. You could definitely tell in this game against Toronto that the Cavs are undermanned. They're on the second night of a back-to-back. They are probably missing home at this point after kind of dropping a big, or not a big lead, but at least dropping a lead in Milwaukee and dropping a game that was probably winnable in Milwaukee and put a sour taste in your mouth for this road trip. You get back to Detroit. You win, but it is a very ugly win at that juncture. And, like, yes, Donovan Mitchell kind of put the team on his back in the fourth quarter. But in this game against Toronto, it's just a very bad stylistic matchup for the Cavs. I think that the Raptors have a lot of things Cleveland wishes they had. Rookie of the Year, Scottie Barnes notwithstanding there, but more so the Rookie of the Year award. But more than anything, this is just a bad game overall for Cleveland. I think this was Donovan Mitchell's worst game as a Cavalier overall, too. I think OG Anunoby deserves his flowers for just the defense he played on Mitchell in this game. You saw a lot of pop from Evan Mobley. You saw a lot of good connections with him between him and Darius Garland in this one. So those are the positives. But again, this just looks like a team that's missing a lot of key depth in Kevin Love and Jared Allen. I mean, Lamar Stevens has played well enough to earn a spot in this rotation, so include him in this, too. Ricky Rubio's still out of the mix as well, so we'll mention him too. But the Cavs are just kind of down a lot of bodies, and they are playing a second game of back-to-back, and it's just a very frustrating game overall for Cleveland. But again, this is a Toronto team that just kind of presses a lot of uncomfortable buttons for the Cavs, and you certainly saw it just kind of on full display for all 48 minutes tonight.
Evan, how much of Cleveland's struggles in this game do you think, and the shooting kind of notwithstanding, how much do you think the not having Jared Allen is an issue? Like, the fact that you don't have him, that he's not there, and Mobley kind of has to take on that kind of back end role in some ways. How much of that do you kind of, his absence, do you attribute to Cleveland's struggles in this game?
I think more so on the defensive side of the ball. Like, you could tell Jared Allen gives him a little bit of an edge on the defensive side of the ball. I think the fact that he's just such a black hole in terms of defense and protecting the rim and the paint certainly just adds an edge. Like, Evan Mobley looked pretty good defending the rim tonight. He did a good job defending Pascal Siakam at times, but I think Mobley just isn't wired to be strictly a rim protector for this Cavs team or any Cavs team in general. Like, I think when JB Bickerstaff kind of mentioned, like, young Anthony Davis, when I asked him, like, hey, what players does he kind of remind you of just as a basketball lifer? Like, but you can see the comp there. Like, Davis is comfortable defending the rim, but also being more of a help defender and more elite in that regard to kind of unlock and tool things a little bit. And I think you're seeing more of that with Evan Mobley. And defensively, because this is a defensive first team, I think the Cavs are just missing Jared Allen quite a bit. And we can talk about this a little bit more, too. But it's that on offense, it's just you need that constant vertical lob threat or a guy who can take the top off a defense through a pick and roll like Allen can, whether it's from Garland or Mitchell, just passing him the ball. And I think by creating overwhelming rim pressure, whether it's from Allen, whether it's from Mobley, whether, you know, you get it from your smalls and Garland and Mitchell as well, like, there's a lot of ways the Cavs could kind of tinker with things. But I think just the lack of Jared Allen, also just the overall lack of, like, quality depth at the center spot besides Mobley and Allen is a little worrisome right now for Cleveland. And maybe it's just, like, friend of the program, he gets shots out all the time. Now Danny Cunningham pointed out, like, maybe this is something the Cavs need to evaluate as the trade deadline kind of gets closer as we head towards December at this point, where maybe they kind of prioritize getting a higher quality backup big man just in the event Jared Allen is out again, or, like, you know, just they give Mobley and Allen the night off to rest or something like that.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that. We'll come back and discuss that part of it in the Robin Lopez. I think that fits well with what we'll talk about with Robin Lopez. The other thing I came away thinking of this game is sort of just like watching. I thought Garland. There's two things. Garland was really good at screen navigation in this game and dealing with some of that and really getting into his spots. And I think like on both ends, I think. And if you're gonna have him deal with, as he's kind of growing more and more into his role, and growing more into what he's going to be, having him do that against teams that are really long is a big thing, and that's important. The second thing is I came away from this game just so impressed with OG Anunoby, and it's just like, I think if you are, and look, this has like been obvious, I think, but even like a 70% of that kind of player, or like 65%, like, OG's having a crazy year. Like, he's been awesome. You know, maybe like all-star range-ish, maybe like all defense, something, like really good player. That kind of wing who is big, who can shoot it, who plays hard, who is just kind of always in the right place defensively. Like, I understand those guys don't grow on trees, right? Like, but that guy does so much for throwing looks at the Cavs. Like, him on Donovan Mitchell is like maybe like the worst kind of matchup for Donovan Mitchell in some ways. Like, he's bigger than him. He can handle with the quickness with him. Like, Mitchell was never comfortable in this game. And some of that, I'm sure, is the schedule. But like, I just came away just like looking at Anunoby and being like, that kind of skill set is so valuable in what the NBA is. And it's like just kind of missing from the Cavs roster. They're going to be good without it.
Yeah.
And they're building a different way. And like Mobley, I think, will do some of that in time. It's just like, I came away from that game not like concerned about the Cavs, not thinking this loss was particularly bad, whatever. I just came away being like, dang, it is nice you have wings like OG and Anunoby, and it can be hard sometimes to win without them.
Well, the Raptors are interesting in general because they have Anunoby. They have Pascal Siakam, who can play 3 through 5 and also is playing at an MVP level right now. You have
Dean Wade had a very hard time with Siakam in this game.
Like, the Raptors, again, stylistically, we'll talk about this more in segment two, like, have a lot of pressure points that they can throw at the Cavs that makes the Cleveland really uncomfortable and that can, like, make this a really ugly playoff series. But to just go off my point here, they have Scottie Barnes, who has a lot of untapped potential, but, like, has that potential to kind of fit that mold, too. Like, the Raptors are very multifaceted in terms of just, like, being able to switch between perimeter defense and interior defense and just everything in between. And I think having, like, one of the brightest defensive minds in the league in Nick Nurse just running the whole show is really helpful too. And like, even like, it's remiss of me to say, like, they have Chris Boucher, they have Christian Coloco, who is going to be good in time too. Like, the Raptors have just a lot of just interesting switchy tweener 3s, 4s, and 5s that can kind of just play, allow the Raptors to play small more than anything, but they play, can play small, they can play big. Like, Toronto is just a very interesting organization and just how they function and go about things. And like, you look at this roster across the board, like, Thaddeus Young started at center for them tonight. And, like, it makes a lot of sense why the Raptors were kind of hard-pressed to go after Jared Allen when Jared Allen was an unrestricted free agent, and the Cavs kind of locked that up right away, because, like, you put Allen in this, and, like, holy crap, this Raptors team is very, very terrifying at every level of the floor on defense, and they have just, like, the enough right amount of firepower, and, like, Fred VanVleet, and, like, Ananobi, like you said, is playing at an all-star level and has given them a lot on offense. Like, this Raptors team, and this isn't locked on Raptors, just full disclosure here, but, like, this Raptors team is just very interestingly built, and the fact that they've pivoted so well from that DeMar DeRozan trade to Kawhi Leonard, then losing Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and just like every other kind of key piece more or less for that championship squad, and then kind of gearing up so quickly and back into Eastern Conference prominence is fascinating, and it's an interesting case study on how small non-glamour market teams like this, I mean, glamour market in the terms of the NBA, Toronto's the New York City of Canada, but like at the same time is just... it's fascinating to watch. And like the Raptors, man, they have an overabundance of wealth. And if you were Cleveland, you wish you could just like kind of just pick something off there from just, you know, to add some quality depth at the back end or even at the top of your rotation.
I would be trying to cash every development chip that I have to try and just keep trying to develop wings like that. Like second round picks, any first round picks you have. UDFAs, you like just throw all of your development weight behind that position. All right.
It's like after the break, he was a projected top 10 pick, tore his ACL in Indiana, slipped to Toronto in the back end of the first round, and now look has blossomed because of good, like obviously staying healthy, but like, man, the Raptors development system is just insanely good.
Yes. All right. After the break, we're going to give out game awards, but first, we have an ad read from Evan.
Today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Turo. Turo is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want, from a community to local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles from just about any occasion or budget across the US, UK, Canada, and it's coming soon to Australia. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for that family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or just because. Find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget or just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle you've had your eye on and see how it fits your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver their car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions can and will apply. Forget boring car rentals and find your drive today at Turo.com.
All right, we're back here on the Lockdown Cast podcast. I'm Chris Manning. That is Evan Damerl. Evan, when you look at this game, who is your MVP? Can you pick a real MVP? Can you reasonably pick an MVP in a game like this? I ask this every time we do this, but who is your MVP?
I think it's Evan Mobley. I think you're seeing a little bit more of him ramp up that motor of his. I think we're kind of seeing him build his way into those kind of lofty expectations we had heading into the season, whether it was just this podcast or anybody who covers the team or is a fan or follows this team. And you're seeing more of it because you're asking the Cavs at least are asking him to do more. Like there are nights still that he'll take like four shots, but tonight he led Cleveland in shot attempts with 14. Granted, he went 0-4 from three, but he had 18, 15, one steal, two blocks, a really, really, like really impressive block on Pascal Siakam in the first half that kind of led to a nice fast break bucket. Like you're seeing a lot of like Evan Mobley still trying to get comfortable out there on offense, but seeing him having more of a consistent presence is really helpful, and this kind of goes hand in hand with your MVP pick, but like he is really starting to build a better rapport with Darius Garland too, and hopefully he does the same with Donovan Mitchell down the stretch or just as the season goes on. But like Evan Mobley was very good tonight, and I think if he wasn't able to give you that two-way X factor like he has been, this game would have been a lot wider of a margin of defeat.
I think he is like ultimately the right pick for this. Like I found him to be like, he's not at that level where he's fully like always asserting himself and like able to kind of hit that dominance kind of gear, but like he has a couple plays defensively every game that are just crazy, and I think he's finding some confidence offensively right now. Like he seems like a guy to me that looks a little more comfortable offensively, and like, you know, he took four threes, didn't make them, but he just like took them, and that signals something. We'll see how that kind of continues going forward, but he's kind of settled into like a pretty good level. I think the last couple games, even with some losses, I think he's playing well. Garland is kind of the other option. Like, doesn't make a ton of shots, but I thought was very poised, very controlled. I think more effective, you know, of the two between him and Mitchell in this game. But ultimately, like, you lose, and it's like kind of that competitive second half. It's just like MVP feels sort of like blah. My stat of the night, Evan, is just 7 threes made. Like, you made, like, it is so, it is just, like, very hard to win an NBA game when you make 7 3-pointers. And, like, there's, like, we talked about this on last night's episode, or the Monday episode. Like, the Cavs were 4-1 in games coming into, after last night, that they shot under 30% from three. They're 4-2. It is just, like, hard to win that way, particularly when you're playing a team that can shoot it, that is comfortable shooting it. Mm-hmm. And like when, and again, when Garland and Mitchell are so just kind of shot makers, and particularly Mitchell, it's just like, I don't know what you really do with that.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with that either. And I think it's tough because Donovan Mitchell takes a healthy diet of three-pointers. It's actually Jetty Osmond who led the Cavs in three-point attempts tonight, then followed by Dean Wade and Isaac Okoro, who tied Garland and Mitchell at that point. Like, it's surprising Okoro is at least trying to be so confident from his three-pointer, but hey, maybe you take those because maybe later on in the season he feels more comfortable doing it, but that's impressive. And I think something that's a little bit more of a positive for me, at least, is Toronto's like one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the league. The Cavs held them to 7 offensive boards even without Jared Allen, and in turn only gave up 7 second chance points. The only issue is the lack of Jared Allen made it abundantly clear because they gave up 40 points in the paint as well to the Raptors. Like, the Raptors found a way to adapt to how Cleveland strategized and planned for them, and just more or less just found more effective ways to kill the Cavs throughout this game. And so it's an interesting kind of stylistic change. Maybe the Cavs weren't quite prepared for the Raptors to make quite a bit of adjustments and just kind of take advantage of the lack of depth and defensive presence on the perimeter, but at least for me, like, at least giving up 7 offensive boards to the Raptors is a bit of a small victory. It's a moral one, I guess, but it's something that hopefully you can at least tell, like, hey, the coaching staff did their homework. They understood the assignment, and like, they knew what Toronto was good at, and they try to mitigate that. Unfortunately, the Raptors are just good at a lot of things.
Yeah. Evan, before we get into our play, just yes or no, is this a bad style matchup for the Cavs?
I would say yes. With the Cowards caveat of let's see what both teams, and I mean both teams, do at the trade deadline, because Toronto could do something to shake things up because they have a lot of assets they haven't cashed in, and the Cavs have a very, very clear need of wing depth at this point, and they need kind of something to kind of mitigate some of the attack Toronto has on the perimeter if they did run into each other in the playoffs, at least.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so my play of the night is a two-way sequence in the second quarter. You hit on it. It's the Mobley blocks Siakam. They get on it. Darius Garland just gets out and goes. He feeds Dean Wade to the other end for corner three. Like, it was just kind of the most, like, successful two-way sequence the Cavs had most of the night. Garland had, like, another pass I thought about, that really nice kind of up and under pass out of the pick and roll that he found, or just when he went ISO against against Van Vliet and then feeds Dean Wade in the corner. Like, that was really nice. You know, you had a steal as well, like the result in an Okoro dunk. But I think it's just that two-way Mobley to Garland pushing, kind of just the Cavs were much at their best when they got out a little bit like that and didn't get kind of bogged down in half court. I'm curious to see if there's ways they could kind of ramp that up in certain ways when they're full strength, when these two teams do play again later on in the year.
It would be fit. I mean, that's my play in the night pick too. That's why I kind of tipped my hand at it. I'm glad Chris took the bait and went home with it. Let's ride.
Oh, Russell Wilson. But, anyway, continue.
Or Dean Wade. Yeah, you want to see more of this. And to pass it back to you on your prior question about stylistic matchups, like, do you think this game would have been different if the Cavs were a little healthier, if they had Kevin Love, if they had Jared Allen, if they had, cause even if they had Lamar Stevens maybe to slow down and be a body that they can throw at Siakam at times, or even in Anunoby at times too? Do you think this will be different, or do you think that it's more the Raptors just know how to make the Cavs uncomfortable even when they're at full strength, or this is more of a little bit of that, but also more so that the Cavs are on a Seka Baba and they are not at full health?
I think it's a little bit of everything. Like, I think, like, yes, like, you're in your third city in 4 nights, that's going to contribute to a certain reality for you, right? Like, that's just a problem. At the same time, like, I think the wing stuff just presses on the Cavs, and they're max, like, in some ways, like, you're not fully built to just like dominate them in the paint with your scoring in that way. Like that's just like a true, I would wonder how they lean into that. And look, I would, you want to see when they're healthy. I think I would be, I, Lamar, as much as like the shooting kind of can be tricky with him, like he might make sense to throw it at like Siakam for a little bit, right? Like that might be a thing you turn to, and Allen will help kind of deter that at the rim as well. It's like, look, I think it's not like a, it's not the best matchup. And like if this was like a first round series, it would be like a very tricky one for the, we would learn some stuff, I think, about both teams and particularly just from our perspective, how the Cavs would navigate it. But I, there's just some like weirdness with it, but that's what makes this fun. That's what makes it kind of interesting. Okay. One more break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the return of Caris LeVert and his struggles of late. And we're going to touch on Robin Lopez, what he's giving the Cavs as their kind of veteran big man, and if, how he's living up to things. But first, today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. It is really easy to use LinkedIn Jobs. You just go on, a couple clicks, and you're done. You add your job. You add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. It's kind of really that simple. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus the leading competition. And it's the time of year you want to finish the year strong, add the best team members possible. We did that with Locked On Cavs. I did that bringing on Evan. And then we did it again bringing on the one and only Jake Stevens. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to and faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA. That is LinkedIn.com/LockedOnNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, last segment, Locked On Cavs. Evan, let's start with Caris LeVert. He has dramatically cooled off since his really hot start, and I know this is his first game back from injury. The Cavs are certainly, I think, glad to get him back because they just need some bodies. But if you look at his numbers on the year now after his blistering start, 16 games, playing 32.3 minutes a night. He's shooting 36.4% from the field. He's shooting 37.3% from three, which is very good, would be a career high. He's shooting 35.8% of two-point attempts. That would be the lowest mark of his career by a significant margin. He is, it is just a little wonky with him right now. Again, you give him a cut in some slack because of the ankle. You kind of, I think we always expected kind of a comeback to earth moment. But he is not playing particularly good basketball. He did not play particularly well against Toronto, and you got to try it. I don't know how you get him in rhythm, but you got to figure it out.
Yeah, and for context, it's been three games overall that Caris LeVert has played since being sent to the bench and kind of replaced with Lamar Stevens / Dean Wade in the starting lineup, and he's averaging 4 points per game on 14.3% shooting with three assists and 4.7 rebounds per game. And you're getting something from him, but like Chris said, if this is going to be your, you know, your Hooper, your supercharged six man, the guy who you, at least if you're JB Bickerstaff, sent to the bench to get him more opportunities, to get him more touches, he's getting more touches. Sure, it's just, it's killing the offensive flow a little bit. I think it really put it on full display tonight against Toronto when there was no Kevin Love on the floor to help him. There was no, or at least just kind of share the scoring load. There was no just any really options. Like, you're like, Jetty Osman's cooled off quite a bit too. Like, Jetty Osman is not really been beneficial to the Cavs either as of late. But like, Caris LeVert, especially, like, this is your guy who you traded a first round pick for last season. He plays really well to start the year. Unfortunately starts dealing with an ankle injury, or a guy who has knee, foot, and ankle issues. Like, that's a red flag in and of itself. So it's a small sample size of stats I shared, but you do have to kind of be quietly concerned that, like, hey, we need to find some consistency from Caris LeVert, and maybe the answer is finding more creative ways to run him in lineups with, like, Donovan Mitchell that they saw success with early into the season when they did a lot of spread pick-and-roll stuff, or they run lineups with him and Darius Garland as well. But, like, maybe you need to have one of those more ball-dominant, dynamic playmakers alongside LeVert, but trying to kind of get the momentum going with him and then let him call his number in certain plays and let him run plays in isolation. Like, there's ways to make LeVert functional, but He has staggeringly cooled off, as you said, and you do have to be a little concerned about it and hope that this isn't a trend that continues, and maybe it's more so that he has missed time due to rust, and JB playing him almost 30 minutes tonight against Toronto is kind of an opportunity to get him back just physically in the right spot.
I still think, like, when Ricky Rubio comes back, whenever that's going to be, I do think, like, LeVert is a guy you think you cut into his minutes a little bit, cut him down, like, 7 minutes a night. Like, I think some of the minutes for Rubio come from there. And, like, I don't know what the issue is. The two-point shooting numbers, particularly in the mid-range, a shot he likes are just not good. He's shooting 23% on shots in the mid-range this year. He was at 43, 43, 42% in the last couple of years. And again, you'd expect a bounce back, but those numbers are so low, and that's such a key part of his game that it's just like, that's weird. He is, every year of his career, including this season, he has been like at the very least like the 80th percentile. Ever since his third season, he has been the 80th percentile or above in terms of how many mid-range shots he's taking. This year, he's in the 83rd percentile. 34% of his shots are in the mid-range, and he's shooting 23% on them. That's just like, ugh. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know how to fix that, but there's got to be a way to figure something out, and also I think dial him back a little bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Last thing, Evan, here's just a quick Robin Lopez rant, which is just a weird thing to say out loud, but here we go. I don't think, I understand the impulse to like say, hey, let's go get an improve on that spot. I don't think that's like necessarily even wrong to think like in an ideal world, you might have someone a little more mobile. Here's just the reality.
Is he upgrade on that, Davis? I'm being honest. Is he an upgrade on that, Davis?
He's bigger, and they clearly wanted something specific. Because, like, Ed Davis...
The size aspect is fair.
But you were not going to, like, roll out Ed Davis to, like, run sort of what you did with Jared Allen, and you can't do that with Robin Lopez either, but at least Robin Lopez is big and is like has a history of like altering shots without fouling. That is like there was clearly a skill they valued in a backup center, and I think that was it. Okay. That was like clearly it. I can't like Ed Davis isn't going to do that. There are bigger needs on this team than like improving on the Robin Lopez spot. Like, yes, in a perfect world, would you have a better center? Yeah. Like, and maybe a year from now, Isaiah Mobley signs a Kobe Altman special 4-year contract with declining value and some non-guarantees, and he's good, and you profit on that. Fine. Like, maybe that happens. I just don't think, like, for the money you spent on Robin Lopez, a minimum contract, and you look at the names out there, Ed Davis, Taiwan bound Dwight Howard, Taco Fall, like, Derek Favors. Like, I don't think any of these guys are just, like, so clearly, like, an upgrade. And, like, this is just the reality. When you're getting a minimum contract, these guys are going to have quirks. They're going to have limitations. And if you're going to cash in your trade assets for this season and to maximize what this team is, backup center is incredibly low on my list. Like, if Jared Allen gets hurt, you're probably screwed anyway. If Jared Allen, like, has another injury and misses time, having a marginal upgrade on Robin Lopez that you cashed in a second round pick for or something is just not going to matter that much. What's going to matter is if you have better wings to support what you have and you get more shooting. Like, that's going to, I think, make a much bigger impact. I understand if you're a fan and riding with this team game to game, you're going to get frustrated about that. I'm not, like, invalidating that. I'm just saying from, like, for thinking about this from a team building perspective, and you're saying, hey, like, what can I upgrade on this team? What actually matters? I think Robin Lopez is like very low on my like concerns. I just think it's like maybe he just shouldn't play against teams like Toronto, and that's like an issue in itself. But I don't think there's many backup centers that are going to have like the shelf life people I kind of seem to be expecting out of like Jared Allen's backup and really Evan Mobley's backup too.
Yeah, that's 100% fair. It'll be interesting to see kind of how this evolves. I think maybe, like you said, stylistically, like, he just doesn't make a lot of sense against Toronto. And the fact that I think Robin Lopez kind of has a prominent role in this rotation is more, or at least right now, is more the testament to how the Cavs are dealing with so many injuries. Because we talked about this when the Cavs signed Robin Lopez. Like, you and I like the signing for Cleveland. I think, like you said, it's stylistically a bigger big man that kind of just slot as like emergency depth in the event Allen does get hurt, if you rest him. And like, ideally you operate with the mindset that Garland and Mitchell are kind of like your two ball dominant ball handlers, and then you have Mobley and Allen as like your healthy rotation between those two as like your big man depth as well, where you always have one of them on the floor at any given moment. I think Mobley just isn't quite ready to kind of take that over yet, just because he's not quite big enough, and I think that's fine, and also just figuring out how he works as a player. But it's interesting to think just what this Cavs team could pursue, what they could look at, because like you said, the market is very barren right now, and maybe again this is something the Cavs approach closer to the trade deadline, where like they look at like a team like a Toronto and like, hey, maybe Ken Birch is more of an option for us instead. Or you had mentioned in our group text with Danny Cunningham, like if the Cavs were able to somehow compete with the Knicks to sign Isaiah Hartenstein, like Hartenstein makes a ton of sense. It's just like a high quality, high energy big man off the bench, and obviously a lot different than what Jared Allen provides you at the end of the day, and changes a lot of stuff stylistically, and maybe makes things a little bit more interesting next to Mobley. But right now,
like, he's also making like $8 million.
That's what I said. They couldn't compete difference. With New York in the contract race there, yeah. So that's why.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I just don't know what you really can do to fix this issue. I think obviously just getting healthy is the key answer here, because ideally, if your Cavs lineup is fully healthy, your center spots, or your center minutes at least, are soaked up between Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, spot minutes from Kevin Love at times too, if you're playing Love mostly the four, but he does play the five in certain lineups and rotations too. But you lean less on Robin Lopez, and maybe it's just like, he's tapped out physically, he doesn't have a lot of gas left in the tank, there's a reason why he signed a vet min deal with Cleveland versus kind of the more lucrative contracts he signed at the Bucks, and like lucrative, it wasn't that much difference financially, but still, he's not the same player he was several seasons ago, clearly, but he can still get something of value, and maybe it's just an interesting stylistic thing where you just change stuff going forward.
Just here's the list of veteran centers you could go out and sign instead of Robin Lopez right now if you wanted to do it. Willie Cauley-Stein, DeMarcus Cousins, Ed Davis, Taco Fall, Enes Freedom, good lord, Derek Favors, Tristan Thompson, Hassan Whiteside. Not one of those dudes is a significant, meaningful upgrade over what Robin Lopez is.
I think Tristan Thompson could finally just summon back some juju.
Have you watched Tristan Thompson play basketball in the last several seasons, Evan?
Yeah, I watched him with Boston. I'm just like, huh, that stinks. I watched him with the Kings. I'm just like, still not good.
Cooked in all caps, brother. He is a well-done steak.
Yeah, all that mileage and Iron Man streaks he had with Cleveland definitely sapped all of his athleticism, and yeah, there's a reason why he's on side now. But I'm here for the vibes, man. He maybe rocked the boat a little too much, but he would at least be fun in Cleveland again. It'd be fun to see what number he wears, or if Ricky Rubio is forced to change his jersey number at the end of the day. But either way, I don't know. There's not a lot of inspiring options out there. Tristan Thompson would be fun. According to my mentions, DeMarcus Cousins should be the guy the Cavs sign, but I don't know about that one, Chief. And we'll just kind of see where it goes from here. Maybe there's a guy the Cavs can sign like a 10-day contract, and they see how it works just long-term, and then they sign him to a permanent deal for the rest of the season, but we'll see how it goes. This will be probably something the Cavs address closer to the trade deadline or after the trade deadline, when they maybe use that open roster spot, or they just kind of have some extra depth because of a move they may have made involving Caris LeVert or Jetty Osman's contract or something in between. And also, by the way, we forgot to mention on yesterday's show, Jetty Osman bleeds yellow. That's fascinating. Did you not see it during the Pistons game last night? Or Sunday night?
My brain is goop.
Well, Jetty got hit in the face during against the Pistons, and he wasn't bleeding red, he was bleeding yellow after the game, or during the game. So, I had a comment on YouTube saying, I'm surprised Evan didn't mention that, but like, oh no, I saw it, filed it in the back of my head, and then began to process everything else that was happening during that miserable game. So, I'll send you the clip after the game, but yeah, he bleeds yellow. That's interesting. So, either way, in the grand scheme of what Cleveland needs, wing depth is a clear answer. Maybe it is boss man, maybe it's somebody else. I think it's certainly telling that the Suns haven't hit on a trade for Jay Crowder yet. I think a lot of teams are hesitant to kind of move for him at this point, but obviously we'll see what happens. But I think wing depth is always just going to be your pressing priority in the Cavs, and it's just kind of been that way since LeBron left town.
I don't care about if you're backup center, like third string center, like agitation is just not for me. That's it. I just don't care about that. I think that's silly.
I put in the private chat on our recording platform that Jetty Osman literally bleeds wine and gold. Let's just end it on that.
Well, and on this, Evan, USA Iran, Tuesday, 2 p.m. I'm going 3-1 Americans. You got a prediction for me?
How's Iran doing in general?
I just want a vibes pick from you. Evan, don't try to think this through. I know you don't care, but just give me a pick.
2-1 in a nail-biting thriller because I know Team USA is somewhat underperformed at this point, and why not carry the theme but find a way to win in the end?
Let's go. Let's advance. Very excited about this. All right. That's going to be it for this episode of Locked On Cavs. We should Locked On National Team, honestly. Let me just go in there once a month. I get really agitated about why Tim Weah should be playing the nine, and they should just go play their best players. Anyway, thanks
Shout
for making Locked On Cavs. Not the Blues. Not SS Blues. Oh, the French? Yeah. The French are really good. Tukumeni. That guy. Thanks for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. This episode was produced by Jake Stevens, who I hear is a really big fan of the England national team, which I find weird. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris. That's Evan. Everyone, be well.
The outro video there, big guy.